的白昼。Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today, October 21st, 2016, for the pleasure of all assembled devotees and by the mercy of His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, we are diving into the nectar of the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 3, Liberation from the Illusory Energy, shloka number 35. Shri Vipalayana Vacha Sityut dhava pralaya hetur ahetur asya. Sityut dhava pralaya hetur ahetur asya. Yat svapna jagara sushuptishu sadbahishcha. Yat svapna jagara sushuptishu sadbahishcha. Dehendriya suhridayani charanti yena. Dehendriya suhridayani charanti yena. Sanjeevitani tadavehi param Narendra. Sanjeevitani tadavehi param Narendra. Please chant. This, please.
Yeah.
Shri Pipalayana Uvacha.
Shri Pipalayana
said,
Stiti
of the creation.
Buddhava,
maintenance. Pralaya
and destruction.
Hetu, the cause.
Ahetu,
itself without cause.
Asya,
of this material universe.
Yat,
which.
Svapna,
in dream.
Jagara,
wakefulness.
Sushuptishu,
in deep sleep of unconsciousness.
Sat,
which exists.
Bahicha,
and external to them as well.
Deha,
of the material bodies of the living entities.
Indriya,
the senses.
Asu,
life ears.
Viridayani,
and the minds.
Charanti,
act.
Yena,
by which.
Sanjivitani,
given life.
Tat,
that.
Avehi,
please.
Please know.
Param,
to be the supreme.
Nara Indra,
O King.
Translation and purport of His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Yes. The purport is according to the Srila Prabhupada's teaching by his disciples. Shri Pipalayana said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of the creation, maintenance and destruction of this universe, yet he has no prior cause. He pervades the various states of wakefulness, dreaming, unconscious deep sleep, and also exists beyond them. By entering the body of every living being as the supersoul, he enlivens the body, senses, life, ears, and mental activities. And thus all the subtle and gross organs of the body begin their functions. My dear King, know the personality of Godhead to be the Supreme. Perfect. In the previous verse, Pimpinini inquired about various aspects of the Absolute Truth, namely, Narayan, Brahman, and Paramatma. Now, the sage Sri Pipalayana explains these three features of the Absolute Truth in the same order in which the king mentioned them. Situdhava Pralaya Hetu refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead who expands himself as the triple Purusha incarnations, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakashaya Vishnu, Kshiradakashaya Vishnu. As described in the Bhagavatam 1.3.1, Jigrihe Purusham Rupam Bhagavan Mahadi Adavata Sishvikshaya. In the beginning of the creation, the Lord first expanded himself in the universal form of Purusha incarnation, and manifested all ingredients for the material creation. And thus, at first, there was the creation of the 16 principles of material action. This was the purpose of creating the material universe. So thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, is mentioned here as Hetu, or the supreme cause of the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the cosmic situation. Still, there is no cause of the Lord Himself. He is Ahetu. As expressed in the Brahma Samhita, Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. The Supreme Lord is the cause of all causes. and being the eternal absolute truth, he has no cause of himself. So the word Ahitu has also been explained by Srila Jiva Goswami to indicate that the Supreme Lord has his original form as Krishna and his own transcendental abode called Krishna Loop. Since Krishna is always engaged in his blissful pastimes in the company of eternally liberated associates, he is aloof from the affairs of this world, which is created by his external potency known as Maya. Therefore, it is stated, Jigrihi Purusham Rupam, the Lord expands himself as Narayan and Vishnu to facilitate the gross illusion and gradual rectification of the conditioned souls. So the Lord's aloofness from the material creation is also described in the Vedas. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. The absolute truth has nothing to do, since everything is done self-sufficiently by his multipotencies. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur has pointed out that even though the Supreme Lord Krishna is Ahetu, or causeless and aloof from the cause of material creation, the Lord is also described in this verse as Hetu, or the ultimate cause of the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the material manifestations, because he expands himself as Paramatma, or the Super Soul, who acts as the prime mover of the cosmic manifestation. So the word Ahetu may also be understood in another way. In Bhagavad Gita 7.5, the Lord says, Apareyam mitastvananyam prakritim vidhime param jivabhutam mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagat. The conditioned living, the entities jiva bhuta, desire to engage in sense gratification with their material senses, mana shastan indriyani prakritistani karshati. Thus, the creation of the material world becomes necessary. In fact, the material cosmic manifestation continues to exist because of the desires of the conditioned soul to exploit it. Yayedam dharyate jagat. And the government must create a prison to accommodate those citizens who are inclined to criminal activity. So there is no need for any citizen to live in the obnoxious conditions of the prison. But because a certain portion of the population is inclined toward antisocial behavior, the prison becomes necessary. In a higher sense, the prisoners themselves can be considered the hetu, or the cause of the construction of the prison. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead expands his internal potency according to his own desire to increase the ananda, or transcendental bliss, of himself and his pure devotees, but he manifests the material universe in response to the illicit desires of the conditioned souls to live a life of sense gratification and willful forgetfulness of him. Wow, what a terrible term. Willful forgetfulness of the Lord. Therefore, the conditioned living entities themselves can be considered the hetu, of course, of the material manifestation and the external potency of the Lord Maya, who is charged with the duty of material manifestation, is called Chaya, or the shadow of the Lord's internal potency. Srishti Stiti Pralaya Sadhana Shaktir Eka Chayeva Yasya Bhuvanani Vibhrti Durga. The Lord does not personally desire to manifest the shadow potency called Durga or Maya. The blissful spiritual planets, eternal and manifest, contain the best possible facilities for the living entities who are parts and parcels of the Lord. But. The conditioned souls rejecting the inconceivable eternal living arrangements the Lord has kindly provided prefer to seek their misfortune in the shadow kingdom called the material world. Thus, both Durga and the conditioned living entities may be considered the hetu, or cause of the material manifestation. Since Lord Krishna is ultimately Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all causes, he He is to be known as the ultimate supreme cause. But, yes. How the Lord functions as the supreme cause of the material manifestation, Stitude Dava Pralaya Hetu, is described in the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Upadra Shtanu Muntacha. The Lord acts as overseer and permitter. The actual desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is stated very clearly in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. So the Lord desires every living entity to give up the shadow potency Maya and return to the actual substance, Vastavam Vastu, which is the eternal kingdom of God. Although various aspects of the Absolute Truth are being described, the Absolute Truth is ultimately one, as stated in this verse, Tad Avehi Param Narendra. So, King Nimi, Hare Krishna, King Nimi inquired about Brahman, and now this verse says, Yat Svapna Jagara Sushuptishu Sadvahishcha. So, the Lord's all-pervading feature within wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep, and his existence beyond these three mental states are understood to be manifestations of Brahman, the spiritual potency of the world. Finally, the statement, Dehindriyasu hridayani charanti yena sanjivitani, can be understood to refer to the Paramatma feature of the world. When the Lord expands himself as Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, the third of the three Vishnu features, and enters the heart of every living entity, the gross and subtle organs of the body becomes enlivened for continuing the chain of written activity and called karma. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, the multifarious manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead do not compromise the supremacy of one without a second. The Absolute Truth is Paramavyomanatha, or the Lord of the Spiritual Sky, who appears as two-armed Chamasundara, as four-armed, as eight-armed, or as having 1,000 arms. In each aspect, his body is eternal and full of bliss and knowledge, Sachitananda Murti. He appears on earth as Vasudeva and within the causal ocean of Mahavishnu. He lies on the milk ocean as Kshiradakshaya Vishnu and rescues his helpless young devotee as Nrisingadeva. Appearing as Lord Ramachandra, he acts as the perfect king, and appearing as Krishna, he steals the heart of everyone, and especially of young beautiful women. All these features of the Lord are indicated by the word Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as the word president indicates not only the official duties of the president, but his personal family life and long intimate friendship as well. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's two Bhagavan Svayam, and when one transcends an official understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and comes to the superior status of love of God, one can understand the Lord to be Krishna, the cause of all causes. So the innumerable Vishnu expansions of the Lord are also understood to be plenary portions of Sri Krishna. Krishna's two Bhagavan Svayam, and as the Lord himself states in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. These points have been explicitly clarified in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as in the opening verse, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmajasya Yaton Vajadirata Shritishu. What a perfect. Shri Pipalayana Vacha Stityuddhava Pralaya Hitur Ahitur Asya Yat svapna jagara shushuptishu sadbahishcha dahindriya suhridayani charanti yena sanjeevitani tadavehi param narendra. Shri Kripa Lioness said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of the creation, maintenance, and destruction of this universe, and He has no prior cause. He pervades the various states of wakefulness, dreaming, and unconscious deep sleep, and also exists beyond them. By entering the body of every living being as the super soul, He enlivens the body, senses, life, years, and mental activities, and thus all subtle and gross organs of the body begin their functions. My dear King, know that personality of Godhead to be the Supreme. Hum Gyan Kiran Dasya, Anunjan Shilapati Shiram Nitam Nakas Nishni Dhiravi Namaha, Shri Chaitanya Manavishnam Svatitanya Manavishnam Svayam Rupa Kadamitam Dadati Svaha Dantakam. Yes. So, dear Vaishnavas, thank you again for facilitating me with this wonderful association. I will have a few days ahead with all of you, and also discussing the subject matter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which this chapter is, yes, very, very, very relevant to any living entity in this material world. How to get liberation from the illusory energy of the Lord. And as we see today, the Lord is the cause of this universe directly and seemingly that He is not the cause of this creation. But the purpose of creating this world, as we see, the purpose of creating, maintenance, and ultimately destruction and again creation is the desire. Once one disciple of Srila Prabhupada approached Srila Prabhupada with tears in his eyes, crying, "Srila Prabhupada, why I have to suffer so much in this world?" And Srila Prabhupada gave just one word reply. Desire. It's because of desire. It's only because of the desires. So, conditioned soul suffers because of his desires. Because of his desires, this world has been created to facilitate him satisfy those desires, which actually creates opposite result. Conditioned soul, that's why it is called illusory energy. Everyone hopes to enjoy. And what they get instead, just opposite. That's why it's called illusion. Everyone dreams about happiness, long life, enjoyment. But what is it? It's just a contact of objects with the senses, which are just two matters. The senses, sense organs, are just the matter. The mind itself is subtle matter. So by contacting two matters, a living entity thinks, oh, that should be a lot of enjoyment. Unfortunately. But, this chapter is glorified by one particular, very interesting and very relevant shloka to all of us. Shloka number 30, which you read, I believe, 5 days ago, which teaches us so nicely what shall we do and how we should do, because this chapter promises us to give the answer for liberation. How to get clear vision, Shastra Chakshu. How to see the world as it is. How to give up the illusory mystification of this energy of this world. So in the Shloka 30, it is nice, given us a wonderful, wonderful prescription. Parasparanu kattanam pavanam Bhagavat Yasho. Mito Ratir Mitastushtir. Nivrittir Mito Atmanaha. Very important shloka. Where it is said that a devotee should learn how to associate with the devotees of the Lord by gathering with them to chant the glories of the Lord. This is it. This is it. It's all about coming together and chanting. This process is most purifying. Yes. And as devotees thus develop their loving friendship because of coming together and chanting together, as the saying goes, the family stays together, it eats together and prays together. So devotees eat together, they shout, and they chant together. So therefore, stay together. And stay together means develop loving friendship. And they feel mutual happiness and satisfaction. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, wherever my devotees come together, chant together, I am present there. I inspire them from within. So, and by thus encouraging one another, such devotees are able to give up material sense gratification, which is the cause of all suffering. That's it. This is the recipe. This is the recipe. This is medicine. Coming together, chanting together, developing warm, loving relationships with each other, encouraging each other with the practice of devotional service, which cleans away the desire for sense gratification. Because, actually speaking, the living entity has no other choice, just one choice. Devotional service or sense gratification, which is, for a devotee, not an option. There's just one choice, devotional service. Do you want it or do you don't? So devotees are conscious. They understand. Doesn't matter what my mind wants. What it matters is what is auspicious and beneficial. And this is coming together and chant together. With reason or without a reason. Nobody will ask you if you come to chant at night or early morning, 1 a.m., to the temple to chant your japa. Nobody will ask you, why you came? What are you doing here? Get out. No. Because it's auspicious, because it's beneficial. You know, a devotee may chant with a reason or without a reason. It's auspicious as long as he does this consciously. So, what a situation we do have here now. The situation is that Narada Muni, yes, the one who is keeping the vow of Mauna, who doesn't speak nonsense. Prajalpa Granya Kata. This one is called Muni. He never speaks anything mundane. Because to talk on the transcendental subject matter means you are Mauna Vrata. So, Narada Muni is enlightening Vasudeva, yes, father of Krishna, because Narada Muni, desiring and eager to see Lord Krishna, he resided almost exclusively in Dvara. So Vasudeva, who was actually bewildered by Lord's illusory potency, had previously offered worship to the Supreme Lord Anantadeva for the purpose of getting son, but he failed to worship him for liberation. So now Vasudeva is inquiring Narada Muni about the means and ways how to achieve liberation, residing himself in Dvara. So you know, he's already liberated. But as usually is the case, those great personalities, be that parents of the Lord, be that associates, friends, beloveds, they always act on for the benefit of conditioned souls. So, of course, sure, the Vasudevs, Krishna's father's questions are for our own benefit. And therefore, once when Narada arrived at the home of Vasudeva and Varaha, who worshipped him according to proper etiquette, Vasudeva greeted Narada respectfully and requested to hear about pure devotional service. So this should be our interest. We should be consciously keen to listen about the transcendental subject matter. So he was inquiring Narada Muni about pure devotional service, what it means, uncompromised devotional service, unmixed, untinged with any material desires. Because he wanted to hear about the activity which frees one from all kinds of fear. So Narada praised fixed intelligence of Vasudeva and then related the ancient history of 9 Yogendras, who were the sons of Vrishabhadeva and King Nimi. So this is the continuation of the discussion of the replies of Yogendras to the answers to the questions of Nimi. So actually one part of it is very interesting for us. Of course, every shloka is just amazing. But certain parts really capture our attention. Like there are a few shlokas, 8 shlokas in previous chapter, where one of the sons of Lord Vrishabhadeva, Havir, he gives a description of the three first, second, and third class of devotees. And in the last 8 shlokas, he gives the description of the topmost devotee, most pure first class devotee. So he says that one type of devotee who offers prescribed worship with faith to the deity of Lord Vishnu, but has no devotion for Vaishnavas, what it means, is envious, or, you know, considers them to be impediment on his path of devotional service. You know, he says, God and me, the rest is just an impediment. So, and other things related to Vishnu is a materialistic devotee. Yes, he just offers the worship to the deity of Lord Vishnu, but he can't relate to the Vaishnavas and other subjects related to Vishnu. But one who shows love for the Lord and he makes friendship with the Lord's devotees and is merciful to the ignorant and indifferent to the enemies of Vishnu and the Vaishnavas is the intermediate devotee. And the first class devotee is one who sees the presence of the Supreme Lord in everything and sees everything within the Lord is the topmost devotee. So we see that Prahlad Maharaj, ultimately, when he was asked, challenged actually, not asked by his father, Hiranyakashipu, father who wanted to kill his son for a few times. He was challenged, so where is your Vishnu? Because Prahlad Maharaj replied to his father's question, so where is your source of inspiration, energy, and protection, and power? Prahlad Maharaj replied, my dear father, my source is the same as your source. Your power also comes from Lord Vishnu. And my faith comes from him as well. So, as we know that demons, atheistic persons are really becoming furious when they hear Lord being glorified. So Hiranyakashipu became furious like anything and said, where is your Vishnu? Where is he? And Prahlad Maharaj was really surprised. What do you mean, Father, where is God Vishnu? What, you can't see? Because wherever Prahlad looked, he saw everywhere the Lord. As is said here by Havir, Yogendra Havir. He says that one who sees the presence of the Lord in everything and sees everything within the Lord is the topmost devotee. Prahlad Maharaj saw everywhere Lord. And he said, my father, what do you mean, where is Lord Vishnu? He's everywhere. What, you can't see? And Prahlad Maharaj could clearly see that, you know, Hiranyakashipu is a blind guy. He don't see. He's like confused. So Prahlad Maharaj almost suggested his father go to the oculist, you know, to get the glasses. Why, you can't see the Lord. What's the matter with your father? So this is the first class devotee. Yes. And there is very nice story related to Narad Muni and very according to the subject of this chapter, liberation from the illusory energy. So once Narada Muni thought, everyone is under the influence of Mahamaya, external illusory energy of the Lord. Wow! I can't see how it acts. I can't see how it's so subtle. You know, it penetrates the consciousness of the conditioned living entity and it's under the illusion. How it acts? I would love to find out the mechanism how this illusory energy acts. Because when you know the mechanism, mechanics, then you can do something about it to avoid it. So once he approached Lord Narayan, I said, my dear Lord, can you show me how the illusory energy of yours works? Can you explain all the engineering behind that? And the Lord was not happy about the question. He was not happy, you know. And then he said, you know, Narad, you better go and bring me some water to drink. Okay, Narada Muni thought, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya, prashnena sevaya. If you ask questions, be ready to serve all. Ask the questions in the mood of service. So the Lord asked to serve him, bring the water. Okay, I'm ready. He ran for the water, sprang for the water. And he was ready already to collect some water, but he saw some lady who was collecting already. Young lady was collecting already the water, and she was filling for a jar. So he thought, okay, where is the queue? Let me wait. And he stood and he contemplated, and he saw that, you know, this young lady is filling the huge jar of water. And he thought, wow, I'm just wondering how she will be able to lift it up and carry. Maybe I should ask her. And she approached her and said, young lady, where are you from? And how far you are carrying this water? And she said, I'm from nearby village. And every day I'm coming here to pick up, to collect drinking water and bring back to my home. And Narada Muni said, but it's stiff. It's a hard work. How you will lift? She said, I'm doing that every day. And Narada Muni said, maybe I can help you today. And she said, of course. And when she filled with water, he took on his shoulder and they walked towards the village. On the way, they chatted and they found that they have so many things in common. So many things in common. Both like rasagos, halava. And for his surprise, she said that she is expert in cooking those things. So he thought, wow, that's a good deal. Promising. And until they reached the village, they became such a good friends. And it was so difficult to separate. So they thought, maybe let's marry. And they married. And Narada Muni became Grihastha. And he changed his dress and, you know, everything very normal and very common. He got children, he was happy in his family life. The wife, as was promised, cooking him Sunday feasts. And he was like, hurry, bow. Life is beautiful. And at some point, as usually is in this material world, once some hurricane, I think it was Matthews, hit the village. Yes, and wiped away, you know, the river nearby swole and, you know, the huge waves just wiped away all the village. Not like here, but wiped all the village and his family, wife, just died, disappeared. And he was, you know, broken-hearted. He was sitting there and crying. What shall I do now? My life is lost. That's it. All what I loved, all what I dedicated my life is gone. And he was sad and depressed and crying. And he heard a voice from the background. Narada! Where you've disappeared, it's already 3 minutes past. Where is the water? Narada Muni, whew, what happened? Oh yes, I forgot. I got carried away by circumstances, situation, and you know, and I forgot the Lord. Oh, he just came back to his consciousness, ran for the water, brought the water for the Lord's pleasure, and understood how the material energy, illusory energy, Maya works. It's just small thing you get attracted to, something promising to be pleasing. You get attached to it, and then it's so much pain to force yourself to be detached. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. We have a minute for the questions. If you do have for this. Otherwise we can continue tomorrow. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.